Beloved radio friends, we heartily greet you in the name of our wonderful Savior, with thanksgiving to God that we have the privilege of bringing before your heart as well as your conscience the truth of God. We continue our study and the meditation in the book of Exodus concerning the early chapters revealing the world that is the system of this world under Satan, revealing it in its true character in the light of this story long ago in the second book of the Bible. We now begin reading in chapter 8. We particularly would read from chapter 8 in verse 1 through verse 15, where we come to the second plague that God visited upon Egypt, and Pharaoh, the god of Egypt, and the emperor of Egypt long ago. Listen to the words as we read. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, and over the rivers, and over the ponds, and caused frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, we read. The frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments. They brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee, and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? He said, Tomorrow. And Moses said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, thy servants, thy people. They shall remain in the river. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious and holy word. My beloved, again we take deep consolation and encouragement in knowing that not one bit of the word of God is without blessing and without divine truth. And again we rejoice that in the story of Exodus we have the revelation of what God saw, the character of Egypt under Pharaoh and the Egyptians to be, and typifying to us the character of the world in which you and I are living in, a world that is under the domination and the power and tyranny of Satan, who is its God, and who is called in the word of God, and was even by the Lord Jesus himself stated to be, the prince of this world. My beloved, I want to tell you frankly who's running this world. Yes, I know that God is behind the scenes. I believe that. And I know that he will someday, ultimately, manifest his victorious reign. But he is permitting sin and Satan to manifest the power that is evident, and giving the choice to men and women to either worship and know the true and living God through Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, or to have the inevitable alternative to be destroyed forever. My beloved, may I state this? The purpose of the Lord Jesus coming into this world. Let me just quote it from John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And the coming into this whole world of Jesus Christ has divided it into two classifications. There are those who believe on him and receive eternal life. There are those who refuse to believe on him, and they never will have eternal life. Now it's up to you. You either believe or you refuse to believe. What have you done? And so when we see what the world is in the character of this book of Exodus in the land of Egypt, let us recognize God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the day is coming that the unbelieving world will be judged and visited by divine displeasure in the most terrible form of judgments it shall ever have known. Now in the land of Egypt, the gods they worshipped became the object of God's wrath and destruction. And the plague of frogs was the second plague, as we have now read in Exodus 8, verse 1 through 15. Now we have stated and repeated, the gods of Egypt were the gods of pantheism, meaning they worshipped nature, every form of nature, from the heavenly celestial bodies down to the very lowest creatures upon the earth. Amongst the worship of the pantheism of Egypt was the worship of frogs. And they called them gods as well as goddesses. Now we may well recognize from the preceding judgment when the water was turned into blood that at the time of the year when the river Nile overflowed, there was usually the multiplication of frogs, which also encouraged them in their pantheistic belief to worship frogs in Egypt. And the worship of frogs was a very old form of nature worship. And the plague of frogs that came in that day long ago was an attack upon the female deity that they worshipped by the name of Heka, H-E-K-A, a female deity with the head of a frog, the body of a woman with the head of a frog. And they worshipped her as being the wife of the god of the cataracts, the waters that brought the inundation at the delta of the Nile every year. May I go even further to state that the frog in Egyptian worship was made the symbol of regeneration. One of the gods of Egypt was worshipped as a man, and it was the father of Ramses II. For sometimes even the pharaohs called themselves gods. And this man by the name of Set was represented upon the monuments of Egypt, offering two cups of wine to an enshrined frog. And underneath it was the legend inscribed, "To the Sovereign Lady of Both Worlds." Now there you can recognize they believed that this female deity was a god from another world. Now what happens? God visited all the gods of Egypt. Again we repeat from Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. God said, "Upon all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment." And God's judgment entered upon Egypt by the superabundance of the frogs. I'm glad I was not living in that country at that time. The swarms of frogs, they entered into the palaces, they entered into places that were not the usual places for frogs to abide. The houses of the Egyptians, the bed chambers, how'd you like to get in bed with a bunch of frogs? How'd you like to find them in the ovens as you put your food in the oven to bake? How would you like to find the frogs in the kneading troughs as you made the bread? And whether it was Pharaoh on the throne and his priests and rulers, all the servants and the people, all the great as well as the small, were visited by the plague of frogs. My, how it spoke to Pharaoh. And yet, though it spoke to him, and perhaps it had affected him in some degree, and he called upon Moses and Aaron to beg their God to take them away and keep them only in the river, which Moses and Aaron did, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And what happened? The frogs died. In the houses they died. In the villages they died. In the fields they died. And I want to tell you, when they gathered them all together, it was a very big smell. A most terrible odor of a smell that filled the land. Now I want to tell you something, and we'll see more of the meaning of it in our next message. But may I tell you, as far as the gods of Egypt, to the heart of God they stank. And I want to make it very evident and clear that anyone that worships any god but the true God, God doesn't have much use for their gods. They stink in his sight. And the day will come when he will prove to all that the gods of this world are indeed a stench to the living and the true God in heaven above. I'd like to ask the question, how appropriate today, how many believe in a true and a living God in heaven above? My radio listener, listen. Take in the message. Are you concerned about knowing the true and the living God? Or do the gods of the earth, your own idols, and the gods of the earth take your interest? Oh, may the Holy Spirit remind us, there is a God in heaven to whom every one of us shall give an account. And may the Holy Spirit search the hearts and the consciences of many, that they may seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Father, we pray, take the world and show the people of this world what it is, that they may turn to thee by thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.